Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents a special edition with Trina Michaels. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I am your host, DJ Impact, and I have the crew with me. Let me start with Matt Michaels. How are you?
Looking at our guests' internet pages, and I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
King Lucky, how are you?
Holla, holla, holla.
City Steve.
What's up, y'all? How you doing?
Now, listen, Simon Street was not able to make it tonight, but we do have someone to fill in his seat all the way from L.A., Mr. Raven. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm sitting across from Matt Michaels, and we have Trina Michaels. Are they any relation to Sean? No.
Well, we didn't want to really get into the family history, but
right.
Yeah, Trina Michaels and Matt Michaels definitely have Shawn Michaels' blood running through them.
But did I ruin who the guest was?
I guess so.
Yeah, pretty much.
There it is. They're always, all heartbreakers.
Always fucking up here.
Well, Raven, I'm going to leave it to you, man. Have fun with the show. I'm just going to sit here and control the board, make sure y'all sound good.
Wow. Do I have to introduce her?
Yes, go ahead.
Wow.
You know everything about her.
First, I'm wondering if she's standing in Chicago or where. I just hear all this wind in the background. But anyways, I'll do my best Paul Heyman Lesnar introduction. Our guest this week has, as of this recording, 630,000 Twitter followers and counting.
Okay. Wow.
A person who does not tweet at all, but still by Twitter's own email says she averages 8,000 Twitter followers a month. Wow. That's more followers than AEW, TNA, ROH, MLW, and 33% of the WWE roster combined. Wow.
There it is. Nice.
Technically, 11 years in the business.
Okay.
The wrestling business, I should say. Former entertainer of the interwebs, or as old as she is, the DVD era.
Oh, man.
And she has the greatest big brother of all time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
The one and only. As they said when they introduced her in XPW, Chico, Trina, Michaels.
That goes wild.
Let's jump right into it, Trina.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
This is King Lucky. So I just got a question for you. You know, breaking into the business, who were some of your biggest inspirations when you got into wrestling?
Okay, you got to clarify on this interview which business you're talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Pro wrestling.
Actually, one that matters.
Actually, let's do this real quick. We'll just give a quick rundown for the audience who is not part of the 631,000 Twitter followers. She has gained 1,000 right now. We'll just do this really, really quick. Started in the adult biz in what, 2000? Give me the number. 2004, I believe. Yeah. Left the business in 2009, I guess.
Something like that.
Yeah. Obviously, very well known in that profession. You can obviously use Google and browsers and any tube sites that you want to see that side of her. And did something that no one really thought she would be successful in, and that's crossover to the world of pro wrestling. Honestly, left a very lucrative career in adult films. I believe she did have a home in Northern and Southern California at one point. To go and work on indie shows for, I don't know, I think she had to pay to work on these shows, you know, because the indie promoters couldn't pay them. From day one, understood that WWE was never an option for her due to her career, but always had in her mind
another company that was hot at that time, known as TNA, because at one time there was the catchphrase of "you can't spell Trina without the letters TNA."
TNA.
So, yeah, started for as a favor to Kevin Kleinrock, almost depending on when the show airs, almost exactly 11 years ago, May 24th, 2008, Code Hell XPW reunion. Crazy story after that. I believe it was a week later that Rolling Stone did an article about Ashley Massaro, who recently has passed, about her deal as a high-class escort. And there was only one other person named in that whole article.
Which I do not understand why.
No one understands why, because she's never even escorted. But Trina was named in the Rolling Stone article, which then led to several Southern California promoters contacting her because she did the XPW. And they saw the Rolling Stone article within the same week, and she started working for several promotions in Southern California, AWS and SoCal Pro being one of the first two. And her career went on from there, which we'll get into. So, Lucky, back to you.
Thank you for saving my breath. I mean, I didn't have to say all of that.
Well, you know, I'm sure you don't have your notes and you can't even remember.
Like, you did the interview shit.
Yeah, well, I am your Paul Heyman.
Okay, now can I answer the question that he asked me, please?
Well, I thought you were going to ask. He may need to ask you again because I'm sure you forgot. Drink a whole bottle of water saying all this.
Thank you to my advocate over there. Oh, my goodness.
Well?
Yes. So, let's see. I think you asked who was, like, my inspiration when I got into the wrestling business.
That's right.
you know, that's an easy answer. It was always Trish Stratus. So,
wow.
It was, you know, the epitome of, you know, how to be in the ring. So,
and seeing that it was Trish, later in your career, early in your career, you started to use the black pants with the suspenders, the cutoff wife beater, and the glasses. And I believe,
yeah, that was like my signature look. Yep.
I believe if everyone watches WrestleMania 21, that is pretty much what Trish had for her wrestling gear that night.
Yep.
So you probably owe her a bunch of royalties or something like that.
Yeah, you spent a great time as a manager, and it seems like in the last few years, that's a lost art. How important is that role to talent, you know, coming up when you were managing talent?
Yeah, okay, so I've never labeled myself as a wrestler. I've always branded myself strictly as a manager, particularly a heel manager.
Yes.
I got some rather funny looks when I was backstage at TNA a couple of times, and someone was like, "Oh, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a heel manager," and he looked at me and was like, "I never heard that before." And I was like, "Yeah, well, you never met me before." So, you know, but managers play, you know, I think a very vital role in, let's see, like boosting a talent's name, you know. Maybe a wrestler is very technically talented in the ring, but maybe not so good on the microphone or not quite so good at connecting with the fans, even though they're very talented at what they do. And that's where I kind of come in. I can bridge that gap and speak for them and, you know, kind of give them that little edge to help the fans either like them or hate them because, you know, because of whatever I'm saying, that helps.
Right.
You know, win the fans over. So I will personally take credit for the fact that one of the guys that I managed wound up getting, you know, tryouts and spots with NXT, Johnny Vandal. I spent several years managing him at FIP, and I will definitely pat myself on the back for giving his name a push and, you know, getting NXT's attention for him. So,
What is it that you think is the hardest part about trying because, you know, with when you're a manager, you've got basically two things to do. You're getting the talent over, and then you're also trying to, you know, not outshine the talent as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, how do you find that in terms of, you know, because when you're, you know, when you're just, you know, in the ring by yourself and you're cutting a promo, you know, you're worrying about you, but you've got to make them look good and you got to get the audience mm-hmm. to, you know, buy into it. What is the hardest part about that?
Let's see, maybe not letting your own ego get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, when I was managing a tag team, the Savages, you know, like I kind of feel like one of the other guys would take over with the mic and, you know, he would kind of go off on his own little thing, which I love him to death, but sometimes it'd be annoying. It's like, you talk too much. Like, you know, and that's kind of just, I think a lot of people get that power trip once they get the microphone, is like, they just go off on their little tangents. And it's like, sometimes the less you say, the better.
And that's funny because that's what Raven says about you all the time.
I mean, yeah, I just said it 5 minutes ago. But seeing that you're on the topic of being good on the promos, internet publication, probably one of the biggest, depending on who you're talking to, like Lucky. Yes. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer said that there was one point in your career where he printed that he thought you were the best indie female on the microphone in the business. How does that feel coming from someone like Dave Meltzer?
That is definitely one of my favorite compliments to brag about. You know, Dave Meltzer sees hundreds of people, you know, pass through wrestling, and he could give that compliment to anybody, and it's definitely a high honor that he felt that way about me, so pretty cool.
And if you would have done a promo in the Tokyo Dome, he probably would have had a heart attack, and that would have been the end of Meltzer.
During your time in wrestling, you also struck up a pretty good relationship with Mick Foley. How did that come about?
MySpace.
MySpace. Wow, we just dated everyone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wait, I still use MySpace.
You guys made me feel old when you said I'm from the TV era.
No, we didn't say that. One person said that.
Big brother.
Yeah. So you just reached out to him through MySpace, right? It was just one of those things. Yeah. Yeah. And he's a big fan because he really, you know, he really appreciated, you know, what you've brought to the wrestling world.
Yeah, you know, he's one of the few people that's always believed in me and wanted to see me succeed. And again, somebody that could give that attention or that enthusiasm to anybody, you know, saw it in me and wanted to help me. So that definitely makes me feel good.
During your time, you know, on the independent scene, you've probably been part of so many different angles and things like that. Is there one that sticks out in your mind that really helped get you over?
A lot of angles. You know, I always enjoyed my stuff in Southern California with the Ballards. They were a lot of fun to work with. And the few times I got to go back and work with them again, it felt like home, and it felt like, yeah, this is why I do what I do, because everybody's just having fun. You know, when I was doing stuff more in Florida, you kind of felt the pressure of trying to prove yourself and to get to the next level, and I always enjoyed it when I came back to California. a particular angle, I would probably have to go with... Well, I know Travis will want me to say about my spot with Moxley
for
Dragon Gate USA.
Tell us about it.
you know, for me, though, I think my like 3 or 4 year run with the Savages tag team, because we had the title belts for about a year.
Wow.
So that was, yeah, that was pretty cool. And we were actually doing like several shows together across Florida. And that was really fun.
Well, with AEW just happening and Moxley just making his debut, you can't just run over that.
Right.
Yeah. Drop his name.
You got to tell us what the angle was.
And he's also a Vegas bad boy too. So, you know, Vegas wants to know, what happened with you and Moxley?
Oh, what happened? Wouldn't you like to know that? No.
Sure, Renee would want to know that.
Oh, no.
We're definitely getting banned.
Yeah. Cease and desist.
Let's see. Well, I really only got to work with John like one weekend. I'm sorry, I don't remember the number, but WrestleMania in Atlanta, I think, what, 2011? It was Moxley's last weekend on the Indies before he went off to WWE, so that was kind of cool that I got to be, like, his last one.
Yeah.
let's see. We had, like, what, 3 shows that weekend, I think? And I know Rebby Sky had been like kind of his manager for a while, and whatever their deal was, I don't know if they were arguing or something, but you know, I came out with John that weekend, so she got a little jealous. We had our little, me and Rebby had our little tiff in the middle of the ring and stuff. And, yeah, I don't know. That was it. That weekend is kind of cool to me, because I think it was like the first time I kind of felt like, wow, this wrestling stuff could actually go somewhere, you know, like it was the first big show that I got to work. So for Dragon Gate USA that weekend. So.
And speaking of big shows, going back to 2008, when you started in wrestling, you started in May and Christmas Day, 2008, you were driving from LA to Mexico.
Tijuana, yep.
Wow.
And had to meet, what was it, TJ Perkins at the border so he can get you across?
Yeah.
That must have been scary.
To make your debut for AAA?
Conan, TJ walked me across. Who else was there? Teddy Hart was there that weekend. Let's see.
X-Pac.
So, yeah, thank you. Someone gave me the... Yes, X-Pac was there.
What was the show like? What was that experience like? It's your first...
Working AAA in Tijuana, Mexico on Christmas Day was insane. Yeah, that's the best way you could describe it. Like, it was super cool and crazy, and the fans there are nuts, and they throw stuff at you, and it was awesome.
And did you think then that all the other experiences would kind of, you know, be almost the same, you know, with, you know, getting a taste of that? And
no, I kind of understood that Mexico was its own special breed. So,
obviously during your career, I mean, AAA in the first year, you know, you do a YouTube video calling out TNA, and it took, you know, it didn't take too long for that spot where Mick and Borash commented about the video on an episode of Impact. And then it leads you to eventually getting a gig with TNA. You got to work for ROH. And then another YouTube video that got a lot of publicity by Mick Foley, which led you to get a tryout for Lucha Underground. So, I mean, in 10 years, you did a lot that some people still haven't done in 15 years. TNA, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, and so on. I think notoriety, a lot of the eyes that saw you came from your YouTube videos. And now with, you know, AEW being a big promotion based off of two kids who were pretty popular on YouTube, like the Young Bucks. What can you tell people who, you know, they want to get noticed, but they don't use YouTube to the level that they do? Because everyone can tweet, you know, and they can delete the tweet an hour later when they get in trouble. Or everyone could, you know, tweet a picture of their food or their abs in the gym. But in reality, it seems like it's the YouTube views that help people advance. And honestly, I mean, not trying to be biased, but besides the Young Bucks, I don't know anyone else who utilizes YouTube in the indie wrestling scene besides you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because that was one thing, like, with the Savages, we started doing little video clips and stuff, and they're like, oh, we didn't get the views that we thought we were going to get on the last one. And that kind of annoyed me, because, like, I already had my channel, and I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you stop doing it. Yeah, definitely, you know, take advantage of YouTube. You know, it's all great and well to write a couple words of text for people to read, but they're not really seeing you in your character, you know, being yourself or whatever. You know, YouTube visually puts you in front of them, and you can display your character, because that is what wrestling is supposed to be, right? We are characters. And that they can see you, they can hear you.
And I think,
you know, that allows them to connect better with you, so.
And your YouTube channel, I mean, it's not just about your stuff in the ring. Mm-hmm. I have been a subscriber to your YouTube channel, and I've seen the videos of you doing yoga at WrestleCon on WrestleMania weekend in front of fans.
Yeah, I do a lot. You know, it's funny because you get me in real life and I'm super quiet and reserved and stuff, and I do really ridiculous, silly things for YouTube, and I just have to laugh at myself. Like, you can't take yourself seriously. Go have fun. Like, but what, yeah, my YouTube channel is kind of funny.
What would you say is the most ridiculous thing that you've done on the YouTube channel? out of your personal feelings?
Let's see. Yeah, the stuff I put up from WrestleMania in Orlando a couple years ago, that was very randomness going around. I was trying to do a yoga instructor kind of like fitness thing. So I had a mat, and I was going around the convention hallway and just, like, standing in front of people and, like, doing poses and just being weird. And it's kind of funny to see people. They're like, is this for real? Like, what's going on right now? I kid you not, that video had probably been maybe a day, and some guy writes, like, I didn't give you permission to use my pictures. You need to take this down or whatever. Blah blah blah. I'm like, dude, are you serious?
Wow.
And as I understand it, DDP saw those videos and then made a empire off of DDP yoga just by watching your.
Yes, by watching me, I inspired DDP to, you know.
Actually, she had a lot of fans. She tweeted when she was tweeting the video. She had a lot of fans. Because she made it, it was the same time where Foley lost a lot of weight.
Right.
And so she tweeted something to the fact that it was because of her yoga was the reason he lost all the weight. But, like, people were like, no, he just tweeted he was doing DDP yoga. And, like, why are you trying to steal DDP's spotlight? And, like, people would actually get mad at her for, like, why are you lying about Foley and DDP?
Wow. And for the people that are at home and they're you know, wanting to check out your YouTube channel, what is it?
You can go to youtube.com/TrinaMichaelsVideos with an S on the end.
Nice, nice. I got a question for you. You know, you've
Wait,
got...
Wait, that's YouTube?
That's YouTube.
Okay, just make sure it's the right tube site.
Right.
Never know with her.
Hey, Daryl, your daughter's typing that in right now. Just keep an eye on what's getting typed.
I will. You've got a huge following. I mean, you know, Raven talked about it a little bit ago. What's the craziest thing somebody's ever asked you to autograph for them?
Oh, God. probably the weirdos that want undies. I don't know. It's just kind of strange.
Oh, boy. Well, there goes Lucky's follow-up question. Do you find it interesting that a fandom can be as, you know, like, just approach you with something like that? It's just, do you find it odd that, you know, people almost show no reserve when they will reach out to you and ask, you know, things or for things?
There's a... Oh, I just had the right word while you were talking. Now I forgot it. it definitely amazes me. Like, what is wrong with you people? Do you not, like... I think people forget that we're humans.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, we're not robots. We are actual humans with feelings and a normal life. And you can't just,
On the flip,
first of all, like, who are these people? Like, why are you so weird?
But on the flip side of that, then, is there someone or some fans or a moment that sticks out as you were just taken aback that a fan did something or related a story to you that was, like, so overwhelming, so special that you can't believe you actually, you know, mean that much to a person in that sense?
Oh, not that I can recall. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I have a nice, crappy story like that.
There's the two chicks in Georgia who wanted you banned.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. I went to Georgia to do an indie show. Like, I was there one time. I don't know if this is a compliment to how good I am, or I don't know. But by the end of the show, the promoter came up to me and was like, "So these ladies want an apology from you for, you know, how you acted when you came out to the ring." I was like, "Really? Yeah. Okay." And I'm a very genuine person, and I'm probably way nicer than I should be, and I have never not meant something as much as I did that day. It was just like, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, bye.
Following up with the wrestling, are you still attached to today's product? Like, do you still watch? And if so, what shows do you watch right now?
I don't have much time to watch TV at all right now, so not so much.
That's right, because your
life is pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Why is that? What, do you have a kid or something?
Why is that?
No,
I have a hairless Ewok.
You know, that actually is a very good question. And I know I've just at StarCast this weekend, I was talking to some of the boys who had recently become parents. And what was it like when you have a child and you've been in this crazy entertainment industry, you know, for most of your adult life, and now you have a child? What was that transition like? Did it all of a sudden hit you like a brick, like something had changed? Or did you realize, you know, that you have new priorities? What was it like for you?
I think it was more like a gradual shift. Nothing ever, like, hit me. Mm-hmm.
I can tell one thing. She takes longer to return my text.
Right? sometimes it's not at all. Like, you, I don't know, that instantly wanting to protect them from all the nonsense that's out there, for sure. Yeah. But, you know, like, so I haven't really talked much about this aspect of life. I guess you could say for a while, I really just tried to, like, maintain where I was at, and then
sure,
as time kept moving on, it's like I had to pull more away from. I think I did what every mother does, because there are plenty of guys in the wrestling business that have kids back home,
right?
And it's like, cool, all right, honey, I love you, I love you kids, we'll see you next weekend.
Yeah.
But when you're the mother and you're the one that's supposed to provide, take care of, whatever, you know, you can't just walk away and leave them for 5 days with somebody that's supposed to be your job. So
right.
It definitely has a, not a catch-22, but, you know, it's not the same for a,
yeah,
for a woman as it is for a male in the entertainment business to,
and I think,
have a kid and still keep their career going.
And I think a lot of that is also, you know, obviously you're pretty private about that. But a lot of that is public by another wrestling couple, or a popular wrestling couple of Matt and Rebby Hardy. You know, Matt is the TV dad,
yeah,
you know, and Rebby is the Instagram mother. Like, yeah, Maxwell and Wolfie are, you know, on Instagram daily. So, you know, there's people who...
Yeah, but that it works for them, and I love them for that. It's awesome. I love the stuff that they do and how, like, family connected they are, and it's great. It works for them. But unfortunately, my life isn't like that, so, you know.
Well, Maxwell is still allowed to, you know, date. Your kid. only boy she could be around is Maxwell, because they both grew up in the ring.
Yeah, so you've managed to stay busy with this lifestyle. Have you ever recently entertained going back to the wrestling world?
Definitely. You know, like, leaving wasn't really something that I wanted to do. I think, you know, my run at FIP had kind of ended. My tag team broke up. Things were kind of shifting within the company themselves, so that was kind of stalling. And I don't know. I did one last indie show in Florida, and it just, I don't know, it didn't feel the same.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, like, wanted taking this step back, and I would love to continue everything. My, you know, my heart is an artist. My heart is entertainment. I love it. It's just, I don't know, awkward and weird, and I don't know.
And if you were gonna do it, is there one promotion that maybe you would, that stands out to you, that's kind of in line with the way you want to go back?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a dumb question. Yeah. Everybody probably wants to get on right now.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. I suppose it would be worth coming out of retirement, if you want to use that word.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just hard when you kind of, I don't know. I'm probably a lot different than most people, and I don't need the attention, and I don't need the spotlight. That's not why I do it. So to kind of go back to that is emotionally draining to me. I don't know. It would be cool, though. There's definitely that side of me that's like, come on, you got one more run in you. Just do it. Just do it.
But, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously the contracts from this company are extremely high. And they're going to be on the TNT network. And I think it was you who told me earlier that you wanted to rename TNT to Tuesday Night Trina. Because the show may be on Tuesday. So if the show's on Tuesday Night Trina. I mean, if you work the whole Trina TNA gimmick that got you a tryout because, you know, you can't spell Trina without the letters TNA. And obviously, I think the Tuesday Night Trina gimmick could, you know, make a few people happy and cash a few checks and have a good Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Buy your big brother, you know, a nice Christmas present.
It's kind of been the same thing in my first entertainment career as it has been with wrestling. Is like, I think I get over really well with the fans, but it's always the corporate side that never wants to give me the push. And it kind of sucks because it's like, I know the fans love me and I love you guys too. yeah, but I'm not really good at kissing ass and like begging for spots or anything like that. And so I'm just kind of like, well, whatever. Like, I don't know. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so actually a few years back in 2011, you called out a couple of WWE guys at the time on your YouTube channel. I'm talking about CM Punk and Zack Ryder. So obviously there was, you know, I believe that you said that that you were the real internet champion when you were referring to Zack Ryder, and that if CM Punk ever wanted to be a real wrestler, that he should give you a call. So, any kind of memories of that little series of events there on YouTube?
Oh wow! Wow, I haven't thought about that in a long time. I don't remember why I said all of that. I must have been in the mood. Judy Michaels, yes, I know. Ha ha. Goodness. Well, I mean, obviously I'm an internet champion. I mean, come on. How many thousands of followers do I have?
Ooh, yeah.
So,
I think right now, 633,000. It's gone up.
Yeah. What? And you know what I think is funny with that is people, girls, whatever, from either industry sit there posting, you know, half naked or fully naked pictures all day long and don't have as many followers as I do, and I don't even really socialize that much anymore, and I still have, you know, a very large fan base, so I think that's kind of funny.
Well, have you seen some of these other girls naked? I would assume they wouldn't have that many followers.
That should go to show, you know, like sometimes less is more, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of people she's caught out on YouTube, I remember she drugged me around Northern California a couple years ago to Google and Facebook, and I think we even shot something at the PC in Orlando. You're tracking down Shayna, of all people. She's crazy.
Wow.
Yep,
wow.
I am. You know, that's the great thing with me. I'm not afraid to call out anybody.
This was obviously
before Shayna left. Yeah, I was trying to get Shayna's attention. I'm still willing to throw down, you know, let's go, but,
Wow.
I think she's a little busy right now.
Yeah, I know.
So,
who else did we comment about? Oh, Sunny.
Oh, there's, yes. Wow. You.
I said my piece about Sunny and my thoughts on her, so.
Yes, you actually asked if she was jerking off people with her Hall of Fame ring on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
that
God.
That got you blocked by a few people.
Yep. Whatever.
Wow.
Yet Hogan is back in the Federation.
Right.
You shot the promo in the LA River looking for a rat named Sunny.
Yeah, it was great.
Then there was you snuck into the Lucha Underground arena.
Mm-hmm. I'm not quite as innocent as I portray to be.
if we would have had a camera right on Steve's face. Yeah, his head exploded there.
But back, I forgot what year it was, but you actually there is a nicer side to you, despite what everyone wants to tell me. You actually went down to New Orleans to help with a few days of the Hurricane Katrina recovery.
I did. Yep.
Can you tell the listeners about that?
Oh, well, I was specifically there with, I can't say my church group, but the church that I did attend while I was growing up. They were sending out a missions trip to I help victims from Hurricane Katrina, so I did go out for a few days of that, and I used to participate in missions trips, you know, when I was in high school, so I'm kind of a good soul somewhere in there.
Right.
Oh, we believe you.
But, you know, when we were out in New Orleans, we, cleaned up some people's houses, painted for them, just whatever they needed. So.
And so, obviously, you've, on the topic of New Orleans, that obviously brings up Luke Hawks.
Yeah.
You actually did a show right here in Vegas where you managed Luke and his tag team partner Alcatraz against Rico Dynamite and Joey Chaos. And I believe the biggest pop of the night, obviously, sounds biased coming from me, but if you guys really watch the footage, it was the biggest pop of the night. Someone got thrown through a table.
I did. Yep. Yep, right there in Vegas. AVN weekend, to be specifically. Oh, wow. So, you know, while all my other friends were at the convention taking pictures and showing off their butt, I was getting thrown through tables, you know. So that's my crossover. I don't know what it is.
Right, exactly.
And you were actually nominated for a crossover award that weekend, right?
I was, and then I got snubbed, so. Oh, for a girl that played herself in some, you know, whatever, 30-second clip on a TV show.
So the AVNs are not on the up and up? I'm shocked.
I've never gotten, attention or press or anything like that from the adult business for what I've done in wrestling. And it kind of sucks. It kind of pisses me off, and I don't know. I don't understand.
Isn't that a weird, though, comment on the rest? Like, the adult industry is not acknowledging your crossover to wrestling. It's like,
yeah.
No, that's below us.
you know what I think it is, though, is because they expect me to walk into wrestling and debut on WWE, and then I would have gotten press for it. You know, yeah. They don't realize that it takes years and dedication and starting at the bottom to get to the top in wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what it was. Nobody really understood what I was actually accomplishing.
Right.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I hear that you are well accomplished with is this green bean entree that somebody told us about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
You know, I do cook really other awesome food besides these green beans.
Really?
That you love so much.
All right. Well, give us your top two then. Because I'm interested now.
I don't know. I like to go on like the recipe websites or whatever and just find things that sound interesting and different that I haven't tried yet. Lately I've been trying to master salmon. Like that's my new thing. The green beans that someone speaks of is butter, soy sauce, and brown sugar over green beans with bacon. It's delicious.
Wow. Mm. That sounds delicious, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's going to be on YouTube at some point.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. You cooking on YouTube.
There yeah.
you go. Boom, that's a whole other show.
Content. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So has Raven convinced you to learn how to cook all the Cracker Barrel recipes yet?
Oh, God.
I know, right?
I don't understand this Cracker Barrel obsession.
All right.
We had way better French toast at this.
Oh, yeah, the French toast spot was great. But Cracker Barrel, I mean, come on. In Orlando, we went, what, three times for Mania weekend? Three times in
yeah,
5 days?
Probably.
Yeah. Tremendous.
He's a walking Cracker Barrel endorsement.
Hey, yeah, pretty much.
And get
he
this.
He really is. I remember when I still lived in L.A., he almost convinced me to drive to, like, Phoenix, Arizona for Cracker Barrel.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Cracker hey, Barrel, if you're listening.
Get this. This new promotion that could be on Tuesdays on Tuesday Night Trina. They're sponsored by Cracker Barrel. So just imagine, like, the catering. you know, I mean, it's all there. Take a pay cut just for the Cracker Barrel.
Oh, goodness.
You appeared on Howard Stern. And
I did.
You took part of a game he has. It was called, I forgot the exact title, but it was called Porn Stars versus the Whack Pack. In like a spelling challenge?
Something like that, yeah.
And not only did you win for your team, but Howard crowned you smartest adult entertainer on his show.
Yes. Wow. Yes, I should feel so privileged. That's how it's
Without a doubt.
And what does that entail then? Do you have to like defend the title in the various spelling bees across
the country?
I
never went back on the show, so I guess I still hold the title for the smartest guy in the room. Goodness. Wow, that was a long time ago. So many memories.
I know.
All the things I've done.
Excuse us. We're filming on a Air Force base right now. So
yeah. Apparently, Nellis is running drills because this is crazy.
We have fighter jets going around. Speaking of which,
they know we've got Trina on the phone. That's what it is.
Well, you wanted to join one of the armed force services at one point, correct?
I did. Yep.
Which one?
Yep. The United States Coast Guard. Mm. Yep.
Very cool.
Yep, 17-year-old me had already gone with the recruiters to the stations and talked to them about, you know, after high school and all that. And then my dumb ass went left and went into entertainment, so.
Let me ask you, what did you find interesting about it that drew you to wanting to join?
I don't know. I can't really say it's saving people, but I used to want to work with the guns on the ships, to be honest. I don't know. I think it's the rigidness and the, like, order that goes along with military, you know? Just taking a stand for the things that are right and helping the people that can't help themselves kind of thing. I don't know.
There's a good person right there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then she ends up as the only female on the Dragon Gate USA roster. Which, you know, I mean, at the time you were contracted by Gabe. You were on the Dragon Gate USA roster, the only female on the roster. And you just I found a picture recently that had the roster list or part of the list in the picture with you on the roster at the same time as you was someone named Ricochet. Someone named Sammy Callahan, a guy named Tony Nese, Tozawa, and Apollo Crews.
Wow.
Don't know what ever happened to those guys.
Yeah.
I think they may have done something well in their lives.
I think they all went into adult film.
Well, there's another one.
That's a different kind of pop.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was, you know, looking back at that roster and seeing you on that profile with them, you know, I think that alone speaks for, you know, what you've accomplished more than, you know, a lot of other people in this industry. Because there's always, you know, there's a lot of girls who do adult films who say they would like to enter pro wrestling. And I don't think any of them understand the concept of you can't go to WWE. You can't just...
Nope.
Suck off someone for third row seats at any AEW show, you know, and you can't.
Lucky
you know,
did.
Well,
you son of a bitch. Oh, no, that is not true.
I didn't want to mention him. We'll save that on the AEW recap podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
How'd you get those great seats? But, you know, and I don't think a lot of girls understand the concept of indie wrestling. You know, the fact that, yes.
Absolutely not.
You have to show up at 4 p.m., even though the show may not start till 8, but technically it starts at 8:45. And you're only going to do this for pretty much no money. And the promoter may be booking you because of his membership to Brazzers or whatever site he has looked at you at.
And so I think, because I always see porn girls tweet about wrestling, or they go to shows, or they know this wrestler, they know that wrestler, and they're like, oh, I want to do this. You know, just point blank, you know, I'm going to call her out, Kendra Lust. Kendra Lust has obviously blocked you on Twitter because, you know, she for some reason hates you, you know, but she,
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but she publicly kind of says who she knows in WWE and how they hang out. And it's weird, like, you know, someone who's coming from a career that she currently does, and she's trying to block you, yet, I mean, it seems like she would want to support, you know, instead of the hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Power of positivity, as your friends Kofi and Xavier would say.
Power of positivity.
Oh, we can even bring this up. We can even bring this up now. A totally different topic, but about the New Day. WrestleMania Dallas, I believe, what was that, 2 years, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Did someone actually get to see the New Day's gear before they even debuted it the next night?
I did. I did get to see New Day's gear before anybody else.
Man,
that's awesome.
Yep.
And
I know. You know what I think about it? I'm actually pretty damn cool.
What were the circumstances that you got to see the New Day's clothing? Like, now I'm curious, like, what's the story?
Yeah.
Oh, me and one of them go way back.
Is it Xavier?
It's not like that, y'all.
But. Sorry, no. That was the guy who sucked off
right
to get third row tickets.
Yeah,
to AEW,
so. Yeah,
exactly. Right,
exactly. Right.
Yep, totally something I would do.
Right,
but no, really, seriously. So it's just it's old acquaintance, old friendships, you know, which is very important because a lot of people who are trying to break into the industry don't realize that the people that you've met throughout the years, you could one day be working with them.
Yep. Here's something for you. I started on the SoCal indie scene the same time. Well, not same time, but like same time as the Young Bucks. So yeah. I remember them when they were Oombot days. So, you know, and look how far they've come.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And and Lucky got all excited by you saying that too.
You son of a bitch.
Trina, I have a question for you. Being that you are a big fan of Trish, did you go to the Hall of Fame that was in New York City, and how was that?
I did. Someone else was inducted that night as well, Mick Foley.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I was there, so that was really cool to, you know, see you guys.
Was you really fanning out and everything?
That I kind of idolized, so.
Yeah.
I've got a very serious question for you. You've had so many experiences in your life. Would you ever consider writing a book, or have you thought about it, or started to pin some of your pages for anything like that?
Yeah, there was a time where I was thinking about doing that.
You totally should.
I said, who would want to read that? I don't know.
Well, the 690,000 followers, I think it's at.
Yeah, that's easily the bestseller.
Yeah, I don't know. There was definitely a time I thought about it. Who knows?
I mean, if you sell it at $2 a crack, a publisher makes a buck, you make a buck, you sell 600,000 of them. It's not bad money.
Why not?
That's true, is very good money.
Yeah.
All right, so
somebody would buy it.
Yeah, of course. Definitely. Well, you got 5 copies sold right here.
I know a real good comps. Trust me.
Yeah. Nice. So, tell me about Damian Sace and his son.
Oh yay! So I met Damian 666 when I did that AAA show we talked about earlier. I met him there. I met Bestia 666 in New Orleans when I did a couple shows for Wildcats. And then I don't remember the year. It might have been 2014, 2015. But there were some Halloween lucha shows in Florida that Sal from FIP and my dear friend Kevin Kleinock were putting together. And they decided that I should be the white girl that manages the devil from Mexico. I mean, that's another, you know, that's another compliment to me, I think, that someone saw it in me, like, seriously, this white girl that doesn't speak Spanish has proven herself and come this far in this business, that she's good enough to stand next to these two, you know, crazy people. So I think that's pretty awesome.
And with Kevin Kleinrock, you know, he's a great guy. He's, you know, one of those guys that I think any one of us who've had any kind of interactions in Southern California, you know, have crossed paths with him. Do you have something special that stands out as, like, you know, something that was either like a moment, something, you know, that you realized, you know, how smart Kevin is? Because he's, I think, one of the best minds in, you know, in just in life in general too.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's really cool. Let's see. He was having me do like auditions for, I could be wrong on this, but I think they were trying to do like a spinoff of Glow or something like that. They were trying to bring that back or something. So he was having me do auditions for that, and definitely having him sit in the room and like listen to my takes and like, okay, no, like let's do this differently or whatever. You could definitely see his knowledge, his energy, and his passion for it. You know, Kevin's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Lucky has a question.
Yes. How about your TV date on Blind Date? I'm interested. How did that go? I used to watch the show.
Wow, we are going way back. Yeah, does anybody even remember MTV Blind Date? I mean,
yes.
oh God, I think that's how I met Mr. Raven over there.
That would be how you met Mr. Raven over there.
Yeah. Gosh, that was silly. I don't know. He was a dork.
Wait, who?
That is so Raven.
Wait, I don't think she's talking about me.
No, not you.
Yeah, you got to clarify that.
Jeez.
No, I have other words to describe you.
Well, on to the Twitter questions. Before we lose the signal, these fighter jets, you're fading out. On to the Twitter questions.
Yeah, tell us about this blind date.
Oh, I don't know. There wasn't much to it. I don't even remember that. It was so long ago. They take you, to dinner and then to some, weird location for you guys to, I don't know, interact or whatever. I don't know.
Wasn't very memorable.
His name was Ryan. I do remember that, yeah.
And have you seen any of this footage resurface over since the time you've done it to now?
I mean, I never really watched a lot of the show anyway, so I don't know how many times they might have aired it. But
okay, so
nobody has brought it up to me in quite a while. So
we're gonna have to dig this up and get it up on our website.
No, let's not. Let's not do that.
So, really quick, let's just do some quick word association.
Oh,
all right,
around so, word association.
Yes, this should be fun. So, some of these names you've already alluded to earlier, but just the first thing that pops into your head about each one of these things. All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm kind of scared right now.
Just honest answers.
Well, we'll start with a couple of easy ones. Mick Foley.
Teddy Bear.
Kevin Kleinrock.
I don't know, awesome person.
All right, Paul Heyman.
Ooh. I don't want to say idol. That's a bad word. Inspiration?
There we go.
Yeah, nice. Sorry, I like that better. My inspiration.
Yeah, very cool. Samoa Joe.
Ooh. Very proud of his accomplishments.
Definitely.
Amen.
The Ballard Brothers.
Oh, I love them. They're like my tag team for life.
All right. What about the New York Yankees?
Oh, the Ballard's better. Oh, damn it. Now I forgot the other team's name. Never mind. The Yankees? Screw the Yankees.
Oh. There you have it.
Yikes. Well, I think we should just cut her off now. Mm. She's obviously drunk over there.
All right. Austin Aries.
Ooh. He's cool. I don't know.
All right. And last but certainly not least, Lisa Ann.
Lisa Ann. I adore her.
That's awesome. Very cool.
All right, so the thing that we'll do sometimes in interviews is Mr. Simon Street, who couldn't be with us because he's had a little under the weather cold going on here. But he likes to do something called the oh shit moment. He wants you to think about a time in your life, whether it might be in wrestling or in, you know, life itself, where something literally made you stop and go, oh, shit.
I think that might be when I did Lucha Underground. Let's see, because I went in like a day early and hung out with everybody, and then I was taping the next day. And I guess I kind of got used to the indie scene of, like, working in bars and gymnasiums and stuff. Yeah. And then to come back to L.A. with, like, full camera crew, catering, you know, all this professionalism. And that was kind of more like what I was used to in the other industry. So to come back to that in wrestling was kind of like, wow, this is the big time, right? Like, this is what I've been working for. And I remember being backstage, waiting to go on and just having that moment of panic of like, oh my God, is this really happening? And I literally had to talk myself up that night and like go through in my head, like, okay, you just did Ring of Honor like 2 weeks ago. You've done this, you've been here, you've done that, you know, this person, whatever, you're freaking awesome, go kick butt, you know, like,
yeah.
I have to talk myself up. So that was, I think, probably one of those bullshit moments. Like,
wow. Yeah, well, that's, you know what, and it goes to show too that sometimes when you're in that environment where you have a professional setup, it makes all the difference in your own mind between, mm-hmm. the gymnasium and just having cameras and lights. And yeah, that's a very valid oh shit moment. I've never gotten that perspective before, and that's the first time on a show that we've heard it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool.
I guess before we close, is the internet rumors true?
That Lucky sucked dick to get third row seats at AEW? Oh, they
are. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's true. But so, rumor is you are in college now?
What? Who said that?
I don't know. You tell us.
I deny.
That's a yes.
Oh, okay.
I'll even say where she's going to college.
Oh no. Wow.
USC.
Oh.
Oh.
You, USC.
You bougie.
Yeah. Yeah, how much do your parents pay?
I mean, I'm using all that indie money I made.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what? Honestly, and you know, all joking aside, the first thing is we wish you all the success in anything that you're pursuing. We are truly, you know, fans mm-hmm. of what you've been able to accomplish.
Thank
you. Know,
you.
There, it takes a lot to be a female in this industry, let alone to have certain judgments passed, you know, about any prior history that you've had before you come into this, you know, into this business. And, you know, for you to have made the friends that you've made and to made the name that you've made for yourself, just goes to show that, you know, stigmatas and judgments that other people, you know, might have about anyone in this world cannot hold you back from accomplishing what you want to accomplish and the dreams you have. Mm-hmm. And you've set out to do that.
Thank you.
And we, you know, from the bottom of our hearts, we really, you know, want to, you know, keep, you know, just cheering you on, rooting you on, not only in wrestling, but in your life, you know, in anything you decide to do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. That makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, Trina, do you have any last words you want to tell your fans out there before we let you go?
I don't know. It's all the fans. I love y'all. I don't want to say thanks for everything. Oh.
And how can your new fans reach you?
You're welcome to still follow Twitter. I get on there every once in a while.
Okay.
We're at 700,000.
I just don't do it.
700,000.
You can follow me at Trina Michaels. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
YouTube still. I update it every once in a while.
So yeah.
So check that out. YouTube.com/TrinaMichaelsVideos. Yeah, that's it.
That's how long she's been on Twitter. She actually got her original name. No. You know how hard that is to get these days?
Five, right.
That's awesome. Well, everyone, that's Trina Michaels. Thank you much.
Thanks, guys.